You're listening to Backchat. Call us on 233-88-266 and have your say.
All right, we're back on Backchat. And Mike, I have to admit, I'm surprised that when I said Gen Xers are running the show and the boomers are holding, you didn't even take the bait.
Of course not. I consider myself an honorary whichever one of those is young.
Gen Z. Gen Z, Rouse. I know we've got a lot of listeners who would fit into the baby boomer category. I'm waiting for their emails and responses. I have to admit, I was poking them a little bit.
I tell my students I was born in the first half of the last century. And that usually silences all of them.
While they work it out. We're moving on to our next topic, which is about the resumption of Shenzhen residents' access to multi-entry visas to come to Hong Kong. We have our visa expert. He's known as the Visa Giza. Stephen Barnes, co-founder of the Hong Kong Visa Center and author of the Hong Kong Visa Handbook. Stephen, great to have you back on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What is the deal? I guess, tell us, like, when was the last time Shenzhen residents had multi-entry Hong Kong visa? Why did it stop? Why have they brought it back? And what's different now?
Well, 2015, it all came to a crashing halt, because you may remember there was a whole series of complaints and scandals.
Full-page ads residents calling them locusts?
Oh, the locusts, yes.
Well, you know, yeah, kind of thing. Parallel trading, swamping the new territories, sort of, you know, social facilities. It just, there was a lot of discontent with it all. And the mainland government decided that it was sort of time to put that to bed. And so they, as they very often do, just sort of turned off the tap and made it more difficult for Shenzhen residents to get into Hong Kong. Unabashed, so to speak. This is great news for us, let's face it.
Shoes on the other foot now, isn't it?
17 million population that's potentially capable of coming and going across the boundary every single day, staying up to 7 days at a time, possibly just coming in for nice dinners and, you know, fancy shopping and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. It's like, you know, in a sense, you know, we've what, 1.5 times doubled our population that can, engage in economic activity freely here.
I remember 2003, these were the white knights. We opened the floodgates to rescue the economy in Hong Kong because of SARS.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So, you know, it's not like this. It's not like we haven't done this before, and it's long overdue. It's long overdue. You know, Hong Kong's changing. We are integrating with our northern neighbours, and the ability for our populations to come and go freely both ways is to be welcomed. 100%. It's all good stuff.
I mean, the shoe's on the other foot now, because now there are complaints about Hong Kong parallel traders going to Target and Walmart and Costco and in Shenzhen and cleaning them out before 11 to buy goods to bring back to Hong Kong or special order. By delivery?
Absolutely. And you don't even need delivery. You can drive up there now as well. Yeah. Increasingly easily.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
So, given that, we built this amazing infrastructure to make it easy for people to come back and forth. And it went, from what we were sold in Hong Kong, it didn't work out the way we thought. It's gone the other way. The Hong Kongers, you know, up to a million leave Hong Kong every long weekend. We had the physical infrastructure to bring people in from China, but then we had these visa barriers. The visa barriers are being reduced. Are they going to come?
Well, you know, your guess is as good as mine, but I think there's always a little bit of the grass is greener on the other side in play in every facet of human endeavor. So Hong Kong's got its charms. And remember, there's a lot of Shenzhen residents that haven't really spent much time here. So, you know, they'll be curious and they'll see that there's a qualitative difference in the experience across the boundary. So, you know, let's put our best foot forward and encourage them to spend their money.
Yeah, and I guess it is a combination of high and low. We have people that are learning how to come and do Hong Kong on the cheap. Famous videos now, how to come to Hong Kong and not even pay for a hotel, spend as little money as possible. You know, people going to McDonald's and then taking it for a photo up a McDonald Road. But then we've got the high end. I mean, Hong Kong has never hired more wealth management professionals. They are really repopulating Central with wealth management professionals. So presumably we would be getting the high end as well. Is that possible?
Well, you'd imagine so, right? But, you know, from my perspective, every extra dollar that's spent in the economy that isn't being spent at the moment is a plus. So, you know, let's just go with the flow and, you know, provide the services and the experience that our cousins want to enjoy while they're
right
here.
I think, Stephen, if I understand your argument, I think I do, is that we are neighbours. And if we are free to go there basically as often as we want, for as long as we want, especially with these new travel permits for long-term expats in Hong Kong, we can all go there as often as we want. Is it really possible to argue that mainlanders shouldn't be free to come here as often as they want?
Well, I think we've plenty of years of that in play, right? And we've seen what that means for us. So, you know, let's try something new, which is what we're doing. I think this is great news.
Stephen, you would have access to hard numbers just in terms of business and seeing where people are applying for visas. Where are you seeing the most growth in your business? Is it people applying for work visas, people applying for tourist visas, student visas? I mean, where is the money in the visa business right now? And what can that tell us about people flow?
Well, the majority of the money that you'd expect to go into the visa business is actually being usurped by the government because of the talent unit. It's the top talent pass that's the primary interest in the marketplace because it's relatively easy to get. So apart from the top talent pass, the normal sort of suspects are in there. Employment visas, this new capital investment entrance scheme visa, much vaunted.
Is it popular, though? It's much vaunted by the government, but are people actually applying for it?
Well, this is a $30 million investment, right? So you put $30 million into qualifying investment asset classes, and you basically get trouble-free, hassle-free residency, no conditions imposed other than the maintenance of the $30 million for 7 years. Mm. Thing is, though, there's only about 50 of those been granted. Last numbers I looked at, it was about 650, 700 that had been applied for. One would assume the majority of those would go on to get approved. So it's not a big numbers game for that particular visa type. But then again, you know, that policy was really designed to attract Chinese family offices to Hong Kong when you get right down to it. So, you know, the sort of newly wealthy that can afford to lock $30 million in into Hong Kong can get immigration status on the back of it. Having said that, truth is, you know, if you've got 30 million Hong Kong dollars, you can certainly create the conditions to pay yourself a taxable income of 320,000 US dollars and get yourself a top talent pass, which is a lot easier to qualify for if you've got the, you know, fiscal background and you don't want to lock $30 million in.
Right.
But bottom line, you know, these new programs are adding value to our economy. We're coming out of COVID. We needed to get some fresh blood in, and these programs are working. So that's all to the good. Other than that, you know, the type of visas that are being issued, employment visas are just a function of how well the economy is doing. It's definitely been mooted in recent last year and a half or so since we came out of COVID. I always say that our business is a bit of a bellwether on Hong Kong's economy, and we're starting to, you know, get more and more interest in terms of employment visa permissions for foreign nationals.
I was going to ask about that. If the government's now in there with its sleeves rolled up, trying to grab people from all over the world for talent or money, what's left for you guys to do?
Yeah.
Well, look, that's a fair argument, right? What is there left for us to do? Bottom line is, you know, I always say to clients that are saying, well, should we pay you our hard-earned money or should we let, you know, the good officers of the government help us? I say, well, yeah, but an officer of the government's not going to be accountable for the outcome that they're suggesting you might be able to get, whereas there's a measure of accountability for our part. But look, at the end of the day, the more people that come in, the better the economy gets. How does it go when the tide comes in, all boats rise? So we're definitely benefiting from that. So no complaints here.
Yeah. My exposure to the immigration business suggests that the ideal spot is when you've got a reasonable chance of expectation of being accepted, but the bureaucracy is so painful that you're willing to pay somebody else to do it. Is that fair, Stephen?
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, you're buying peace of mind. And, you know, I always say that the immigration department's job is to inform and decide. It's not to advise. So you can use the Immigration Department's excellent online resources, and you can certainly have conversations with friendly officers, but they're never going to give you any advice on how to use a system, and that's basically the gap that we fill.
That's the difference.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm glad to hear that things are picking up on the employment visa side. Good sign for Hong Kong. We're joined today by Stephen Barnes, co-founder of the Hong Kong Visa Center and author of the Hong Kong Visa Handbook. It's been another fiery, feisty show with Mike Rouse. Thanks for coming on, Mike.
We should be permanently coupled.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but as broadcasters, not in any other way.
Fair enough. Also, a big grand merci to our producer, Raphael Blett, and our audio engineer today was James Lung, doing a great job as always. This has been Backchat on RTHK Radio 3.